And I don't think society actually understands that the caring for someone is just as important a job as keeping the country afloat or anything else.
So even after Barbara passed, it's not like, oh, well, I'm a free man now, I'll go back to football, I'll go back to living the lab. How long did it take you to, or even if you have even yet, how long was it before you could rebuild your life and get back to some kind of normality? You know, basically being somebody who had no freedom for a couple of years. Now you're a free man. How did it take, and how did you go about rebuilding your own life after those years as a carer?
Well, first of all, you lose someone you love very much, right? It affects people in different ways, and it affected me in ways that I was in a very dark place for 6 to 8 months. When I eventually came out the other side, with the help of my mates and friends and family, my side of the family, I started putting my going back to doing things that I wanted to do, and I'm doing those things now. But I'm still in the process of rebuilding my life. But it's going to take a long, long, long time because I still miss her. And the house is, you know, empty. So every morning I get up or come downstairs or whatever, right? And she's not there. She's not been there now for like over 2 years now. But it's still difficult, and I'm still trying to learn to live with it. I don't think you ever get over it. People say that you will eventually, but, and I used to think you would. And people are very sympathetic to you, first of all, you know, when it happens. But then as the show moves on and people sort of like get on with their lives, and you're supposed to get on with yours. And I'm not saying I'm not getting on with my life. I am. I'm just saying that for all the effort that you put in, and then it comes to naught because the person passes on, it takes a long time to sort of like get the balance back in your life. And you think to yourself, is that everything you could have done? Could you have done any more? What have you done this? What have you done that? And those are the sort of things that still, and you get very angry as well, because you get angry because of how the system, the care system in the country, you see it, and I saw it up close hand, Denise, both in the care home and when I got Barbara back home, how the care system in this country is totally broken.
Well, there's a shortage of carers, but when you see that they're on minimum wage, they're getting the same wage for wiping total strangers' bottoms or wiping up the vomit or whatever, as if they could, as the same wage you get as if they were stacking shelves in a supermarket. So you can understand why there's a shortage of carers, to be honest. So
yes,
maybe one answer is to start paying them a decent wage. That might help.
Or a better way might be to try to get a national care service that doesn't rely on the private sector.
Yes. So if you were in charge of social service, if you were made, for example, the Minister for Social... Oh, seriously, if you were made the government Minister for Social Services, how would you run the carer service? What would you implement? What changes? What would you do?
Well, first of all, if someone's on carer's allowance or whatever, I wouldn't make carer's allowance means tested. If you need to look after a carer and you have got income from pensions or whatever, right, you should still have that money. You should still be getting carer's allowance to help with the caring of it. I would also try and allocate resources, financial resources, so that carers are not finding it better to go on stack shelves in Tesco, of more money behind carers. Many private care companies, first of all, get rid of them and bring them under the National Health Service. The National Health Service needs to be a bit more orientated towards the community than it is at the moment. So the whole thing about caring for people, social care, should be part of the National Health Service, and the carers should be paid a wage commensurate with, let's say, auxiliary nurses or something like that, because of the special skills that they have. The carers that Barbara had when she came home from hospital were wonderful. They were wonderful women. They were very, very caring, and they loved doing the job. And they wouldn't go and stack shelves in Tesco because they like working. And one of the other issues with carers, Denise, is that goes into the recruitment of carers, and because it's all run from the private sector, you get people entering the caring profession who only want a job. They're not really in it because they want to care for people, which is why I believe there's an awful lot of turnover carers, because the caring, thinking it's a job, but it's not a job. It's more than a job. It's a calling. It's like being a teacher. It's like being a doctor. It's like being a nurse. Carers should be regarded on the same level as those professionals, because it is an extremely, very, very extremely demanding job.
If this isn't too personal a question, are you religious? Because what I was going to ask you, if you don't mind me asking, I'm not being rude. Was there any sort of pastoral help? Did anybody from the church know of what was happening and come and try and help you? Because a lot of people do find comfort in the church, but only if you're religious.
I was religious. From my accent, you can probably tell. Yes. I was lapsed. I'm lapsed. And yeah, I mean, some people find comfort in the church. I don't. But what's okay for some, it just wasn't okay for me.
So one last question, because you've been very, very generous with your time, which I really appreciate. You say Barbara's been past 2 years. Do you feel ready to go out and join these different social groups for carers or people who are recently bereaved?
No, not really. Simply because I don't know why I would react to that, really. It's nice talking to you on the phone, on your radio show about it. I know what I need to do to get my life onward going, and I'm working towards that. But I have very good friends, and I have very good family, and some of my woman sisters lost her husband as well a few years ago, right? And we were, how can I put it, estranged for a long while. We've got back together again since Barbara's passed away, and what we've been able to do is share our mutual experiences of caring for a loved one, and that's helped a lot. So if I need to speak to someone about, you know, how I'm feeling or whatever, right, I speak to my sister, because she's probably feeling like that, not the same day, but has probably felt like that a couple of days previous or whatever. So that's the best way I find of at the moment, in the last 2 years of dealing with this, speaking to my sister who's been through the same experience as I have.
Well, Des, talking to you has been an absolute eye-opener. It's not something I've ever had to think about. And if you've never had to think about something, you know, it's not on your register. But, I mean, I've been very shocked, because I didn't realise you had to pay for so many things. I honestly thought all these carers, I know, like, there's a neighbour of mine and she has carers and they're not cheap, but I thought that basically it's only extra things you paid for. I thought those carers that she has were extras. I didn't realise that they're not part of the National Health. Like, if you go to a doctor, it's free. If you go to the optician, it's free or whatever, or cheap. I had no idea. No. And I did know there was private homes, but I thought that was optional, rather. I didn't realise so many things that you've told me. I didn't realise it was means tested. I mean, I've just been to the doctor because I'm developing asthma. Now, I wasn't charged for going to the doctors, and I wasn't even charged for my inhaler. So I don't understand why treatment that you need isn't part. You just feel like saying, well, why am I paying my tax with insurance? You know, before you take my tax with insurance out of my wages, what am I actually paying for? What am I going to get back when I'm ill and need something back?
Exactly. The whole system, as I said, needs to be overhauled. And one of the things I think I missed out from the chronology of it is when Barbara moved from the rehab centre to the care home, and she was in the care home for 12 months, she had to pay £500 a month while she was in that care home.
For what? What was that £500 for?
To be in the care home, simply because she had financial resources.
Honestly, no, this is so annoying, because I'm just asking the question now, why are we paying? What do we get for our national insurance? No, seriously, so, you know, you're laughing and I'm glad you can, because I wouldn't be able to laugh. Honestly, well, Des, you've been an absolute star. Some of the stories have been very, very brave, because I know this is a very difficult and hurtful subject for you to talk about. And I only hope, I don't know if you could write to your MP, but, you know, really, it's so very, very wrong, because it's something that, you know, I could slip tomorrow and, you know, injure myself, and I would be in that position where I'd need a carer, you know. It's been a very eye-opening situation, but I'm glad you're making an effort, you know, getting out and about. You're still going back to FC United and everything.
Though. Yeah. Going back to football and going to cricket and slowly but surely, like I said, having my sister to talk to again has helped. My friends are still around, et cetera, but nothing ever, you know, over 2 years down the line, I still miss her, but that's part of life.
Des, I cannot thank you. You've been great talking to you. You've been very informative, very honest, very open, and you've been wonderful to talk to, and you've been very gracious with your time. I cannot thank you enough.
Not at all, Denise. Thank you.